This morning I have titled my message, These Things. And as we move through this text, you would see exactly what these things are this morning that I'm going to be referring to. Like I've asked you on so many occasions, I'd ask you for your undivided attention as I try to preach God's word to you. A.W. Tozer is an author, and in one of his books titled The Pursuit of God, A.W. Tozer gives a revealing analysis of the state of mankind in relation to the things around him. I'm going to quote him. Listen to what A.W. Tozer said. He says, "Before God made man, God created a world of useful and pleasant things for man's use and enjoyment. The created things were meant to be external to the man and subservient to him. In the deep heart of man was a shrine where none but God was worthy to come. But sin introduced complications and has made these very gifts of God a potential source of ruin to the soul of man. Our real spiritual trouble," Tozer said, "is that the human heart covet things with a deep and fierce passion. God's gifts have taken the place reserved for God alone." End of quote. So intense is man's desires for things that American psychologist by the name of Abraham Maslow did a hierarchy of man's need. And if you've ever taken psychology, I'm sure you've come across Maslow's hierarchy of needs. This theory was widely celebrated as the determining factor to account for and explain human wants and needs. According to Maslow, he says that humans' greatest innate need or motivation is physiological. What he is claiming is that man's greatest need or basic need is food, water, warmth, and rest. That's the bottom line. Maslow is claiming that every human being, their number one potential or motivation is that mankind's greatest need, according to this psychologist, is that mankind's greatest need is food, water, warmth. It's very physiological. And then he climbs the ladder and he gives other needs that man have, like for safety and love and self-esteem and self-actualization and so on and so forth. But that's how he panned things out, as he did like a pyramid. And according to Maslow, your greatest need is that you need food, you need water, you need warmth, you need rest. This morning in our text, Jesus is about to give his hierarchy of needs. Jesus is about to debunk this widely celebrated theory, and Jesus is about to show us what our greatest need is. I find it rather interesting that your Bible and my Bible, it's open to Matthew chapter number 6, and this chapter here, Jesus begins by giving a discourse on prayer and fasting. The earlier verses, Jesus dealt with the issue of how not to pray and how to pray. And as he moved through this chapter, you would notice that Jesus, he switched gears when you get to verse number 19, and Jesus transitioned to discuss some things that he simply called them these things. Jesus is getting ready to tell us about some things that he addressed them. If you look at verse number 32, he says, "For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things." And verse number 33, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things." What are these things that Jesus wants us to know? That's exactly what we're going to be looking at this morning. These things that Jesus viewed, that these things, you and I, we got to watch out for these things, because they not only could adversely affect our prayer life, but it can adversely affect our lives. These things. These things are very important that Christ pointed out. And he warns us against these things. As I begin this morning, I want to say that I want to make sure that I'm not misunderstood. Well, part of my job is to teach so that I could be understood, but also the other part of my job is to teach so that I am not misunderstood. So I want to make a disclaimer this morning. As we move through these things, I am not saying it is wrong. It is not wrong to possess these things. But it is wrong when we allow these things to possess us. These things that we're going to be looking at this morning. Jesus begins his list in verse number 19 of these things. Verse number 19. Let's read 19 through 21. He says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rot doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rot doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Watch this now, verse number 21. For where your treasure is, there will your big toe be also. Is that what's written there? Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The first thing we are warned about in our list of these things is what the Bible simply addressed as treasures. Today we call it money or wealth. That's what we are looking at today, this morning. Treasures. We say money or we say wealth today. Notice Jesus pointed out something about this first thing. Verse number 21, he says, hearts follow treasure. You notice that? Not the other way around. Treasures don't follow hearts. Hearts follow what? Treasure. Help me preach. So in other words, Jesus wants us to understand that your heart and my heart, they are prone to wander and they're heading in the direction of your treasure. Hello, somebody. Your heart and my heart, they're prone to wander and they're heading one direction. They're only heading in the direction of your treasure. What is it you treasure? That's exactly where you find your heart. Some of you, your hearts are in the bank. It's exactly where it is. And we also notice here, Jesus said, be careful. He says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon this earth. Why? Because you see, the best investments are made in heaven. Hello, somebody. The best investments are made in heaven. God's man security can't take care of it here. You don't need God's man security. Not needed. Got to be up in at night, all night, worrying and wondering about what you have. Listen, when you place treasures in heaven, they are secure in the hands of God. You know, 2008 was, I was in the States at that time, just finishing up my studies in America, when the huge financial crisis hit. And I had friends that lost millions of dollars overnight. In 2008, many people, God died. Many people lost their God in 2008. Their God simply died in 2008. Folks, understand, Jesus is warning us about laying up treasures on this earth. He's warning us about holding these things too tightly. He says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rot doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. By the way, notice here, you notice it is possible to have treasures on earth but none in heaven. Just ask the rich man. Remember the rich man in Luke 16? But also notice, it is possible to have treasures in heaven but none on earth. Just ask Lazarus. And it's also possible to have both. Treasures in heaven and treasures on earth. Just ask Job. It's possible. So folks, understand, Jesus warns against that. He says, don't hold, make this thing cause you to stumble. Because verse number 24, he says, no man can what? Serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. It is impossible for you to serve God. And literally that word mammon is translated money. Can't serve God and money. Can't do it. It's just not possible. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 12, where Jesus gives a parable. In Luke chapter number 12, we notice here, Luke 12, Jesus is teaching about the leaven of the Pharisees in Luke chapter number 12. And Jesus goes on, this is a very interesting account here, because Christ goes on, he's teaching against, he's warning against the leaven of the Pharisees. And here's this guy, he's standing there and he's listening to Jesus' teaching, but he's got money on his mind. And look at verse number 13. So Jesus goes on the first 12 verses, he's teaching there, and this guy, he's standing there, but he's not really paying attention to what Christ is saying because he has money on his mind. Verse number 13, it says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." That's amazing stuff. Christ is not even teaching so much about money there. He's dealing with something different there. But this guy, he couldn't wait for Jesus to take a break, and he says, "Jesus, I have a question. Can you tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me?" And Christ knows exactly his heart. Look at verse number 14. "And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" Verse number 15. "He said unto them, Take heed and be aware of what? Greed. For a man's life," what? "Consisted not in the abundance of things which he possesses." And then he launches to give a parable, verse number 16. Jesus then transitioned, verse number 16, and he gives a parable. By the way, of the 38 parables Jesus tells, 16 deals with the issue of money. Almost half of Christ's parables deals with the issue of money. Look at what he says. He says, "The ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit?" So here's this man. He's got a good year. He didn't even anticipate that this year is going to be so good. You know, his crops produce, they multiply. And he says, "You know what? I've got a good problem. I have so much stuff, I don't even have storerooms for them." In verse number 18, and he said, "This will I do. I'm going to pull along my old barns and I'm going to build a bigger one, so I will have space to put all my fruits and my good." And then verse number 19, he's even saying, "I will say to my soul, Soul, thou have much good laid up for" how many years? "For many years." This man is in charge of time. This man is so arrogant. This man thinks that tomorrow he controls tomorrow. So Jesus said, here's this man, he's doing so good in life. Things are multiplying. He's got crops they're producing. He decided to tear down his barn. He's building a bigger barn. And he says, "You know what? I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to lay back, put my feet up and say, listen, I'm taking care for life." And then look at what he says. He says, "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But verse number 20, "But God said unto him." You see, what's important is not what you say to yourself. What's important is not what you and I might tell ourselves, but what God thinks about us. Verse number 20, "But God said unto him, Thou what? Frugal man? Thou wise man?" Is that what? Is he commanded? No, the Bible says, "Thou fool this night," or tonight. "Tonight thy soul shall be," the word "required" mean demanded. You know, when God demands something, you have no choice but to give it up. "Tonight thy soul shall be demanded of thee, then who shall these things be which thou provided? So is he that laid up treasures for himself," and look at this now, "and is not what? Rich towards God." That's the issue. This thing that we call money. Again, I wanna say money is immoral. What do I mean? When I say money is immoral, it means money is not good or bad within itself. The money can buy a Bible, but the same money can buy a bullet. What you do with it. So in and of itself, there is nothing wrong with money. It's immoral. It's nothing good or bad within itself. But understand, when you read scripture, hear me now, of course, the Bible tells us, and we're going to look at that a little later, but it is the love of money. It is not money itself that's the problem, but it's the love, the pursuit of money, that's the root of all kinds of evil. And when you study scripture, money is constantly portrayed as God's chief competitor. Money is constantly portrayed as, you know, as God's chief competition. The almighty dollar presents itself as a deliverer. Church, when we look to money to take care of all of our needs, we've just made that thing a god. like I'm stepping on some toes. Somebody ain't saying nothing. When you and me, when we allow money to take the place of God, understand what happens in our life. Prayer becomes a nice thing, but prayer doesn't become a necessary thing. Prayer becomes a nice thing when we allow money to reign. Prayer is nice, but prayer is not necessary. We don't pray for our daily bread because our kitchens are full. Because of money. But I want us to go back to Matthew 6. Look at what Jesus said. Look at what he says. Look at verse number 33. We already look at 24. He tells us, be careful of that. You can't solve both. Verse number 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and watch this now, and all these things, money included, shall be added unto you. What is Christ saying? Jesus said, I know you need it to get true life. I know you need money to transact business. That's what Christ is saying. I know you would need money to do things in life, but you need me first. It's like a millionaire. A guy who's a millionaire, he decides, you know what, I'm going to just turn over everything to my 15-year-old son. Power for turning anything. That 15-year-old, he would ruin everything. You see, sometimes before certain things have to be delivered to us, we need certain things first. And before you and I could even know how to spend money correctly, you need Christ first. That's why we have so much poverty in the world too, you know. Because some people, you can give them any amount of money without Christ, they have no wisdom. They keep buying the same foolishness over and over and ruin it all. So Jesus said, before you pursue these things, you pursue me first. You have a relationship with me first, and then these things that you want, I'm going to add it to you. But I'm coming back to that. Folks, hear me this morning as I move through this text. There are many things that money cannot buy. Are you aware of that? Hello, somebody. Money can buy you bed, but it can't buy you sleep. You know that? Yes. Money can buy you books, but it can't buy you brains. Money may buy you food, but it can't buy you appetite. Money may buy you a house, but it can't give you a home. It can buy you medicine, but it can't buy you health. Money might buy you some pleasure, but it can't bring you peace. It can bring you amusement, but it can't bring you joy. Money could even buy you a church building, but it can't buy you heaven. Money has its limitation. And that's why Christ warns us about these things that we are pushing before him, these things that we are pursuing first. He says, no, these things will come later. Me first. I'm coming back to that. I'll explain that later. I want us to look at the second thing that Jesus mentioned. Look at verses 25 and 26. Verses 25 and 26, look at what he says. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Again, that expression means don't worry. Take no thought for your life, what you shall what? Eat, or what you shall drink. Nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? And then he goes on, he says, look at the fowls of the air. You know, we got some pigeons right here outside of us. Our church building is infested with pigeons. And just imagine the fowls, the pigeons. Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap. I get up every morning, I come to work here, I do my thing, and others, I don't see the pigeon them doing a 9-to-4. They don't keep hours, but every day they eat it. And they're eating several times throughout the day, you know, the pigeons and them. Yes, they're always in the yard picking stuff, and they're happy. And Jesus said, look at them. Look at the fowls of the air. They don't sow, neither do they reap. They don't gather in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feed them. Are you not better than pigeons? Hello, somebody. Amen. So what is the second thing he warns us about these things? He talks about food. Food, what you eat and what you drink. He's warning us to not to be so worried about food, but that's serious stuff. The other night I went to the restaurant And my wife and I went to the restaurant. I went to a restaurant the other night, and I ordered pork. And I was told all the pork finished. Boy, I was worried. Yeah, I was worried. Because I'm there, I ordered pork, and I'm told all the pork done. This is serious stuff. How could I not get my pork? You see, eating is good, you know. Eating is good, but the problem is that every gift that God has given to us can be twisted to lure us away from Him. In fact, Ecclesiastes 3:13, it says, every man should eat and drink and enjoy the fruit of his labor. It is the gift of God. There's nothing wrong with eating. I mean, let's face it, at the end of a difficult day, at the end of a long, tough day, you like to come home and have a good meal. Amen? Hello, somebody. You know, you like to come home and you enjoy your good meal, a favorite meal. You know, well, for me, I like some comfort food, you know. You know, after a long day, I just like, you know, something, maybe ice cream or something, you know, comfort food. And it's amazing, we even call them comfort food. And God, the Holy Spirit, calls Himself the Comforter. It's amazing. We have comfort food, and God, the Holy Spirit, says, listen, don't let food comfort you. I am your comforter. See, what happens is that we try to feed the soul with the body's food. We try to do that, you know. In John chapter number 6, if you were to turn there, watch this with me. John 6, Jesus has just fed over 5,000 people in John 6. Jesus had just fed over 5,000 people the day before. The next day, they all showed up expecting to be fed again. And look at what he says here. Earlier, the day before, he fed over 5,000. The next day, they all showed up and saying, you know what? I need more food. In John 6, verse number 30, he says, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Look at verse number 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. Look at verse number 35 with me now, John 6, 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth in me shall never thirst. Jesus offered himself. He says, I am the bread of life. The food that I fed you with yesterday will get used up and you're going to get hungry again. But whosoever cometh to me will never hunger nor thirst. Wow. Many days in our life, Jesus not only intends to meet our needs, but sometimes we want to change our needs. Some people are not aware of their greatest need. And he not only want to take care of our physical needs, but he also want to take care of our spiritual needs. But oftentimes we allow food, eating and drinking, to cloud our judgment. Christ says, I know you need these things. Jesus said, I know you have need of these things, but you need to seek me first. It is not that I don't want you to have money or I don't want you to have food. But as the psalmist said in Psalm 34, oh, taste and see that God is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus even made that statement in Matthew 4. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. But the world is set up in such a way that the world wants you to spend your entire life chasing food, chasing money, and forgetting about the most important thing, which is a relationship with the God who created you. That's how the world is structured. So sometimes we allow these things to consume us. And look at the last thing Jesus mentioned. Look at the last thing he mentioned. Back to Matthew 6. He mentioned money. He mentioned food. Verse number 25, verse number 28, verse number 30. He says, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? Verse number 28, he said, why take you toward for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and the toil not neither do they spin. Verse number 30, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? clothing. Clothing. We worry about money, wealth. We worry about food. We worry about clothing or shelter. Folks, understand, even from the days of Adam and Eve, God has been clothing mankind. And also from the days of Adam and Eve, mankind taught, like Adam did back then, it was his duty to clothe himself. So the problem persists today, where mankind still worry about these basic things, clothing. And look at verse number 31, Jesus says, "Wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Christ says, don't worry about where you're going to eat and where you're going to drink and how you're going to be clothed. And then he says, because these are the same thing, verse number 32, that the Gentiles seek after. The unsaved, the unregenerate. You know, that's the unsaved person mindset. The unsaved person is always worrying about the next paycheck. The unsaved man is always worrying about where you're going to eat, where you're going to get food. Or his clothing. Jesus says in verse number 30, he said, these are the things that the unsaved seek after. They spend their entire existence pursuing these things. Entire existence pursuing these things. So what he's saying is, don't make these things your life's ambition. Folks, what I'm saying, hear me now. Look at verse number 33. Let me land this plane here. Because I want you to understand what I'm saying. Because verse number 33, he explains it. You guys with me? Watch this now. This is the point I want to make. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Watch this now. And all these things shall be, what's the next word? Shall be what? Added unto you. Jesus is saying here, these things are additions. They are not foundations. Somebody didn't get that. Let me say it again. These things that we pursue, whether it be money, whether it be food, whether it be clothing, whatsoever we pursue sometime first, Jesus is saying these things are additions. They are not foundations. They are not foundational stuff. Folks, listen, you can't have addition before foundation. Imagine you're building a building. The first thing that goes down is the foundation. And then you put up the additions. The superstructure goes up. And many times in our life, what we are pursuing is the additions, and we don't want our foundation. And that's why the whole thing just collapses. Because if we seek Jesus first, if we understand that salvation is foundational, having the right relationship with the God who created you, understanding that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for your sins and my sins, we come into that relationship with Jesus Christ. That is foundation. And you can start building on that. What good is it going to do to you if you have money and you die without Christ? What are you trying to be the richest person in the cemetery? Is that your life goal? To be the richest person in the cemetery? In hell. Because you're going to spend an eternity in hell. What good it is that, you know, you can brag and you can boast and you say, boy, I just eat at all the nice restaurants in St. Vincent. You know, restaurant I never ate at. But then you die without Christ. You don't have a relationship with Christ. We have a funeral for you. A few people might show up. Then they put you down in a cold grave, in a hole somewhere. And everybody go back to their life. You think people are going to remember all the nice restaurant that you ate at? That's not important. You can wear the best clothing in life. It pales in comparison to eternity. So Jesus is saying here, my friends, don't miss the point, that folks, we need to work on the foundational stuff first and stop working and looking towards the additional stuff. These things shall be added unto you. They will become yours. He's going to give it to us in his time. But don't put addition before foundation. And that's exactly what you do. Friends, life may consist, and life does consist of these things. Life consists of money and food and clothing, but they are not to be the sum total of your life or mine. These things, they are part of your life, but they are not the reason for your life. You don't live to eat. Well, some of you do, probably. I hope it is that you eat to live. You know, you don't live to eat. Don't allow your basic need to replace your eternal need. You might be here this morning and all that you could think about is, boy, I want some money and I want it now. I want to tell you, you need something much more important than money right now in your life. You need Christ. You might be here this morning and all you're thinking about is the next meal. But pastor, when you don't preach, me, I don't to go home too. And that's sad, you know. If that's the case, let us know. Let me try to hook you up. But at the same time, don't go home and you don't have a relationship with Christ. Let us hook you up too. Why are you keep pursuing all this additional stuff? John Tillerson puts it this way. He says, "He who provides for this life but takes no care for eternity is wise for a moment, but a fool forever." Wise for a moment, but fool forever. As I close this morning, I find it very interesting that Paul writing to young Timothy, cautioned him about the very same three things, these things that Christ spoke about. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 6 this morning. Look at what Paul said to young Timothy. As Paul was writing kind of like his farewell letter. In 1 Timothy chapter number 6, you will notice Paul mentioned these things. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. I want to read from verse number 6 through verse number 11. Look at what Paul said to Timothy. 1 Timothy 6. He says, "But godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can what? Carry nothing out. And having food and what? Clothing, let us be what? Content. But they that shall be what? Rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Look at verse number 10. "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." But look at verse number 11 now. This is why I brought you here too. "But thou, O man of God, flee" what? What's the next two words? "These things." Flee these things, the food and the raiment and the money. He said, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after" what? "Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." And he goes on, encourage him to fight the good fight of faith. Beloved, you see it here. Paul exhorted him to be content. You may not have much food. Be content. Some people talk about the pursuit of happiness. What they really mean is the pursuit of money. Yeah, when you hear to talk about pursuit of happiness, it's the pursuit of money and pursuit of food and pursuit of all these things that we are warned about. We got to live our life and we see everything as belonging to God. It's all on loan. So I got up this morning, I got out of God's bed this morning. I got up this morning, I got into God's shower this morning. I got up this morning, I ate God's breakfast this morning. I got up this morning, I drove God's vehicle this morning. That's the mindset we have. It all belongs to God. And we start pursuing these things and have an attitude of contentment. Verse number 11 says, "Flee these things." But he also tells us to follow after righteousness. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, not for food, but for righteousness. For they shall be filled. Here Paul said to Timothy, "Timothy, the man of God is known by what he flees from," in verse number 11, if you notice. "But thou, O man of God, flee flee these things. The man of God is known by what he flees from, but also the man of God is known by what he follows after, verse number 11. And later on, you see the man of God is known by what he fight for in verse number 12. And finally, verses 13 and 14, the man of God is known by what he's faithful to. Flee these things. And I want to close this morning with this verse that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, wrote. Philippians 4:19, we know it all. It says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs, both foundational and additional. God this morning not only wants to take care of your physical needs, but he wants to take care of your spiritual needs, my friend. My friend, I want to encourage you, I want to exhort you, I want to caution you this morning. Be warned, be careful. We are warned that we are wired in such a way that these things have, these things many times have caused us to take our eyes off Christ. These things can present itself like, that's the most important thing you need. The most important thing that you need, my friend, is a relationship with the God who created you. No wonder Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And these things, he said, I could add them. They come later. They are added. You don't start with these things. These things come later as you are added to you. Let us deal with the foundational first. You might be here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God. My friend, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to make it possible for you and me to have that relationship with him. This morning you can come and lay down your weapon and say, Lord, I've been pursuing these things all my life. I've been pursuing wealth, money, food, clothing, whatever. But Lord, you told me this morning in your word that, yes, you're going to give me these things, but Lord, you told me what's more important this morning is for me to have a relationship with you. Friends, this morning come and say, Lord, I want the main thing, which is a relationship with you, so that these things would not cloud my judgment. I'm going to say a prayer with you this morning. And again, I beg you this morning to surrender your life to Jesus Christ before time changes to eternity. Remember, he who provides for this life but take no care for eternity is wise for a moment, but a fool forever. Father, Lord, I thank you.